Your name. I've forgotten your name. I've seen you, but I don't know your name.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
We have business to discuss.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back in. 2 hours down, one to go. It's Rome Solomon here. Joel will be back tomorrow. You guys will be around in the next hour. The Blitz is on the road today, right?
Sam Houston Race Park, I believe.
Gulf Greyhound.
Okay.
They're hanging with the Dogs.
Okay.
Today, I'm pretty sure.
I have been to Gulf Greyhound. I have never been to Sam Houston Race Park.
Really?
Yeah. I need to get out there.
And you grew up down the street.
I know. Yeah, right there in Jersey Village. I never went. I don't know why either.
You look like. You look like the kind of person that would go, especially now that you drop the high top fade. You look like, you know, the kind of person that would hang out there.
The horse track.
But then, you know, they don't have rap groups there that often. So you know. You're not a degenerate though. You're not a gambler.
No,
right? You're not
no. I was too cheap to even. I went to sign up at I think it was my bookie. They're like, well, we need your debit card. And I was like, oh, no, you're not. Yeah. No, I can't do that. My wife would murder me if I did that. Because yeah. I'm the type of guy that would like, all right, let's just put it all in there and see what happens.
Oh, you are a degenerate.
No,
you just don't fight the urge.
And I have horrible luck. Anytime that I gamble, if I bet on a team, I have bad luck. So I just, I know not to do that.
That's not luck. 713-780-ESPN.
What's that, like gambling?
713-780-3777.
He's just saying I'm doing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's not luck.
I could go in and put money on a favorite just to win a couple of nickels, and that favorite would get blown out.
Right.
And I'm talking, you
pick the wrong horse.
That's what, yes. All right. I'm just saying. I'm talking in sports in general. Mm. I mean, if I were to go in and say, all right, I'm going to put $100 on the Warriors to win an NBA title. It's not going to pay me much. I might make $10 on it, but I'm going to put $100 on it this year. Steph Curry would break his leg and be out for the year. Durant's arm would fall off. It would all go to hell and they wouldn't even make the playoffs. That's the kind of luck that I have.
But then you are a Rockets hater then. I'm going to have to agree with the caller.
Why? Because I would put $100.
Because you haven't put $100
down on the Warriors.
I'm
saying on the sure thing. The Warriors are the... Oh, please. You're going to sit here and tell me the Rockets were the sure thing going into this season?
No. You're totally not...
That was my point.
You're totally not understanding. No. Put it down on the Warriors, and that will increase the Rockets' chances significantly.
Man, I'm not putting $100 so the Rockets can have a better...
Because you're a Rockets hater.
No,
exactly.
No, because I'm a $100 lover. I'm not giving my $100 to sacrifice for the Rockets. I don't give a damn about them that much.
Hey, man, if you're a Rockets
hater...
They
won't even give me a credential, Jerome. I'm not giving them $100.
Hey, Jerome, you going to the game tonight?
I hate you both.
Indeed. Can you hear the hate coming from...
Yeah.
I mean, just...
Listeners know you're angry right now,
my
Barry.
My goodness, you got riled up over that little thing. I'm sorry, man.
Somebody did triggered.
Lord.
When Kevin called and said I was a Rockets hater, somebody did say, well, you know, they did deny him a credential. I would hate the media personnel. That doesn't mean I'd hate the team. I would just hate folks in the front office that didn't see fit to give me a credential.
Yeah, according to Bovada, their latest... Golden State Warriors are the favorite to win the NBA title at 5-9. The Cleveland Cavaliers are second favorite at 11-2. So
5-9 means I would have to bet $900 to win $500.
Right, but don't worry about that. If Barry Laminack would get off his cheap behind, his Rockets hating self, and put $100 on Golden State, $100 on the Cavaliers, the Rockets would be guaranteed their third NBA title.
That's probably true.
So Barry won't do that. He's just a hater.
I'm going to start a GoFundMe, and I'll be looking for your first donation. Since you love the Rockets so much.
No.
I'll be looking for your $25 donation.
See, that's not what you said.
Yes.
You said if you were to put your money
That would be my money. My GoFundMe.
You said you are unlucky. You didn't say if I put somebody else's money down. You know? So I'm riding your bad luck. That's what the fans. That's a good try. What the fans want.
That was a valiant effort.
That was a good try for you to try to get out of.
That was a valiant
effort. Your Rocket hating self.
Before we go any further, I've had like five people text the show and say, "Hey, how can I get in on this weight loss challenge?" So I don't know if you came in at the end of it or whatever. But if you want in, just text the show 713-780-3776. Text me your name, your height and weight, and your email address, and get that in. And we'll remind you again tomorrow. But we'll have information and weigh-ins and all that next week. So,
how many people are you going to have now? What do you?
I mean, we're over.
Is it open to just anybody, as many as you can get?
Anybody? Yeah, we're over 100 already. So,
wow.
Yeah. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You can join too, Jerome.
Yeah. Are y'all going to have a fat party?
What's a fat party, Jerome?
I would assume it'd be any party with these 100 people show up at.
Oh, did you hear that, loyal listeners? Did you hear that? Who's the one that called who fat?
That's not what I meant.
Don't be coming in here disrespecting our listeners.
I'm sorry. I meant to say, were y'all going to have a weight loss party?
Oh. Which, what is that?
A weight loss challenge party.
Okay, yeah. No, I don't know. That would be good. I do know that they are in talks with some different locations around town. They're all there, you know, with the garage door. No, I'm just kidding.
What? What, do you need an open prayer for this party? No.
But they are in discussions so for locations bad. For people I know. We're going to have some like meetups and weigh-ins, and it should be a lot of fun. So get in on it now. And yes, your friendly neighborhood beer salesman, I have y'all's info. Because he was asking, do you have my wife's info or my info? Yes, you guys are in.
Yeah, you have to throw them some kind of celebration when they meet their goal.
Yeah, we talked about some of the prizes maybe being some gift certificates to some food places, and we weren't sure how that would work. But as many times as I've been on a diet, I was like, trust me, at the end of this, a lot of people are going to want to go have a snack and eat. So I think it'll be fine if we give them a gift certificate somewhere.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of the challenge?
Cheat meal. A lot of people will tell you that when you're on a diet, one of the best things you could do is have a cheat meal every once in a while, because that keeps you focused. Because if not, then you're just like, you're just
torturing yourself.
Yeah. And you're just like, forget it, man. I'd just rather eat bad. But yeah, I'll have a, when I'm really focused, I'll have a cheat meal once every couple of weeks. In fact, sometimes I'll have a cheat day. I'm like, all right, Saturday, I'm eating whatever I want. And then I'm going to focus again next week.
But you go on diet. What do you go on these diets for?
Vanity. I can't say health, because I'm not that. You know, I'm overweight, but according to me, no. According to the BMI chart,
if you feel comfortable with
with the way I look,
you look. You know, that's hey,
boy.
You don't let anybody tell you
that
you're not.
I'm fine.
Something.
I'm fine. I at various times I think the largest I was 220, and I'm 5'10", so that's not healthy by any stretch of imagination. That was big.
25 more than you are now.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, and I'm about 192 right now. So,
you're probably pretty chunky then. Yeah. I mean, you're a little stout now.
Yeah, I know. I can see me. Yeah.
Can you do anything about those fat fingers?
In fact, we took a picture with Pauly Shore. I was like, damn, I look like I need a bra. I was wearing a shirt similar to this. This is why I wore a t-shirt. I usually wouldn't wear a t-shirt under this. But I was like, man, I got, what is that? What's the medical term? What is it called? I don't know. Man boobs, essentially. I have those.
Yeah, he'll talk about that all the time.
I gotta go on a diet.
He freaks me out about man boobs.
Yeah, it's weird.
But when you lose weight, they go away.
Just regular pecs at that point.
So that's where your weight goes, right? You're top heavy.
My gut, yeah.
Yeah.
My gut and my breasts. Is...
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I can't help you out with this weight challenge.
I know. Make me sick. I don't understand how you stay.
I treat my body like a temple. I work out all the time.
You are a damn liar, Jerome Solomon.
I don't put any poisons into my body. I mean, it's
you don't
just,
work out you know, a lick.
I'm, you know.
What workouts do you do?
I value my stuff.
What workouts do you do? I know this to be a lie. What workouts do you do?
Huh?
What workouts do you do?
We don't have time for that. We got music playing in the background. We got time for all that food.
Hey, Nick, can we
shatter this break. You know what? Do look like
next break. We're gonna
we're
get
gonna give
seven
you the resume
Jerome
of the,
Solomon's top seven workout tips coming up next.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back in the show. All over Twitter here, people are attacking him, Barry, for being a Rockets hater.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they would do that. That's just a given. It's, you know, it's not even fun anymore to wear that out. But I wasn't aware of your affinity for the city of Dallas compared to your alleged hometown of Houston. That's interesting.
So let me start by saying, native Houstonian, born and raised here. Love my city. I do indeed. But I still stand by it that I was up in Dallas, and I've done many shows up there at the different Hyenas locations. And there's one in Plano, one in Fort Worth, and one in Dallas. So I've been all over the Metroplex many, many times.
Okay.
And I will say and continue to say and stand by the fact that Dallas is a much cleaner, much nicer, and more advanced city than Houston is.
Get him, Houston, 713-780-3776. At Barry is funny is the Twitter handle. 713-780-3776.
Of all the backstabbing that I expected to come my way, it wasn't from you, Nicholas.
We dirty in backwood down here in Texas. In Houston, Texas, we not advanced like they up in Dallas. Up there in Dallas, they got all that fans. They got the internet. Do they got the internet up in Dallas? We got to get us some net inner down here.
Interwebs.
We got to get us some of that.
God,
thing.
Did you get so much hate when you said it the first time? And you're probably getting it right now. But
yeah,
the first time was bad.
It was from Kevin, who called me the Rockets hater. Told Jerome on Twitter, and he tagged me. Don't worry, Barry hates everything Houston. He thinks Dallas is a better city, and I told him don't put words in my mouth. I didn't say Dallas was a better city. I said it's cleaner.
Who had the best football team this year? The Cowboys or the Texans?
Cowboys.
Oh, see?
What?
That's a hater. That's a Houston hater.
I got a record to back up that statement. That's a fact. That is a statement of fact. Rockets are better than the Mavs. Fact. That is a statement of fact. Astros, better than the Rangers. Fact. Yeah, that's right. Now, you've been to Dallas quite a bit. You know. Do you agree or disagree that it's overall a cleaner and more technologically advanced, and maybe not, I shouldn't say, I mean, but they've got billboards, like digital billboards, and they've got this big ass billboard with a waterfall on it. And it's just, I don't know, the city seems cleaner to me. Do you agree or disagree?
I think Houston is a beautiful city, and it's just wonderful, and it's clean.
You know who says that?
Well,
a columnist that writes for the Houston Chronicle.
The air quality here is outstanding. I mean, if you check out the American Lung Association, and they rank the states in terms of air quality in the city areas, and Dallas-Fort Worth region is ranked as the 11th worst metro area in the country for ozone pollution.
Yeah,
I'm pro.
What was Houston?
I'm pro Houston in this situation because Dallas is just, you know, that's what you like. You like Dallas? That's fine. That's fine, man. Ain't nothing wrong with
Houston's
that.
Houston's got to be up.
You know,
there.
You love the Cowboys. You're a Mavericks fan, and you think Houston is dirty. That's cool. You know.
See, that was a good try trying to put all there. But I ask you, what was Houston ranked on that list of air quality?
Oh, I don't know that.
I just made that up. 11? Because I'm going to say, you know why? Because they have so many people there because everyone wants to live there because it's nicer. Because it's.
Ooh,
yeah.
And it's nicer. Listen to it. Let's say New Houston.
I'm telling you, dude, all you have to do, Jerome, I'll give you the same challenge I gave every listener when I brought this up. Drive home tonight and just look around. Just look how dirty our city is.
See, yesterday
it needs to be cleaned
yesterday,
up.
Yesterday, I tried to teach you some things and bring you a little education, and I tried to get the brothers to come in, and you know the brothers couldn't hold through the break, so we didn't get the numbers we wanted. Now I'm gonna ask your people to come in on this.
Okay,
brothers became, you know, they call it dirty.
I want to hear from all the white people. Jerome has put out a mandate.
help a brother out, Matt. Welcome.
All right.
To the show.
Well, I'll say this. I've lived here for 32 years, and I've been to Dallas several times. And if you've driven around Dallasbury like you say you have, you realize that Dallas is a cesspool of trash, too. And if anything, we should annex Dallas to Oklahoma because it's a cesspool of Oklahoma fans as well, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, you gave no defense. I mean, like, I don't know where you were in Dallas, but like I said, I've been in Fort Worth. I'm saying Metroplex, Fort Worth, Plano, Dallas, because Jerome was like, well, the Woodlands. Yeah, I live up that way, and it's dirty up there, too. It's like we don't – it looks like we don't clean our freeways.
What about Pasadena?
Dude, I can drive right – oh, Pasadena?
What? That's a disaster, man.
So, yeah, Plano versus Pasadena.
Oh, you guess where I'm moving.
What?
Don't listen to you sit here and look, rip my city to shreds.
I could drive right now going home. I'll take I-10 to 45.
Beautiful, lovely stretch of road.
Not inside the loop and the beltway, it's not. Because I'll take that right through there. There's weeds that are two stories tall on the side of the freeway, growing out of concrete. Just drive around and look.
Weeds?
What are they? Is that the state flower?
That's landscape.
Landscaping. Yeah, they planted landscaping to grow up a concrete support beam for an overpass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like the ivy at
Wrigley Field.
Wrigley Field.
No, it's not ivy. It's a weed.
You don't recognize ivy when you see ivy?
Yeah, I do. That's why I know that's not ivy. It's a what are the yellow? It's a dandelion or a sunflower growing in the middle of the freeway? That ain't right. I'm just saying, we need to clean up the city.
Don't hate
bit
on the wildflowers in Houston.
This is not.
Don't.
This
hate
is not. You know, by the way, the text line completely supporting my.
Oh, yeah. You always say that since you're the only one who gets to read.
Well, I'm deleting them as I go. Yeah.
Anyway, we mentioned it a second ago. I'll give you a little bit more on the hiring at Texas A&M, because Texas A&M is the football program that's doing the work here since the season has been done, because, you know, football being played not particularly great in the state of Texas this year at all. I mean, it was awful across the board pretty much. But A&M doing the damage with Jimbo Fisher coming in. Now they have hired. They went after Dave Aranda from LSU, didn't get him. He ended up, you know, using it to get a big pay raise with LSU. But they've landed a defensive coordinator now from Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Those two played in a bowl game, you know, LSU and Notre Dame. Clearly, A&M like, we're going to take somebody from this game.
Yeah.
And we're going to be all right with that. So it's you were talking about them, their recruiting. I bet if you look up the list, they rank high every year. It's just a matter of getting those guys to deliver once they get on campus. And that's one thing about Jimbo Fisher's staff, is it's already considered to be, you know, one of the best. He brought three or four guys, including Tim Brewster, who's long time been one of the best recruiters in the country, a tight ends coach. He was at Texas. Mac Brown was there for a bit, and he's been around with Minnesota, and then he's been at Florida State. So he brought some Florida State people, some people with some Texas ties. But now Mike Elko, he's only 40 years old, but he doesn't have Texas ties, but he's just a good defensive coach when everybody says he's one of the young up-and-comers. He was with Wake Forest, and then for 3 years and 5 years with Bowling Green before he got to Notre Dame. So,
well, but
everybody's from the people that I trust on this, they're applauding that hire.
Yeah, and I hope that what you're saying is true for the sake of Texas A&M, because the thought was, when Sumlin made changes in the past, going out and getting Mazzoni and Chavis, that those were the moves. Like, those were two guys that came with a lot of credentials and a lot of credit, and people looked up to these guys and said this was absolutely the right move, and there was nothing to show for it at the end of the day. In fact, it got him fired. So I hope that that's the case. I real quickly, because I didn't know where Notre Dame fell from defensively this past year from a scoring perspective, but they were 32nd in the nation in points per game allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So not great, but not terrible. I mean, for record, LSU was 16th, giving up 18.8 a game. Notre Dame was giving up 21.9.
Yeah, and the numbers way and down there. I want to say, sometimes, you know, get you
Well,
those numbers are so different, especially when it comes to colleges.
Because divisions, and if you're in the Pac-12 or the Big 12. Yep.
The style of play and all that. So, you know.
Right. But Notre Dame, I mean, my point is that the Aggies in this case, 28, almost 29 points a game in the SEC. They needed help defensively.
Oh, no question. They did not play well at all on defensive. When I see people, hey, whoever that is saying Houston is an ugly city, get out of here.
On the phone lines?
Yeah. We're not putting him on.
No? We don't want the truth? Anyone that validates my point of view, we don't want on the show. Is that it?
We're not putting truth into this discussion. What does truth have to do with this? This is about a feeling. You feel dirty when you're in Houston.
I'm using my eyes.
You know, you feel dirty. And Disco Biscuit on Twitter says, would you rather have a clean, boring-ass city or a city like Houston that has character?
Being dirty doesn't mean you have character. If that's the case, that every homeless person in America has a ton of character. That doesn't make you... Somebody actually said, there's a shanty town next to Minute Maid Park. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Mm-hmm. What?
Now you're ripping on...
Nope.
On the poor
nope.
Homeless.
I'm just saying that's part of cleaning it up. That's it. That's a statement of fact. Is there or is there not a shanty town under the freeway next to Minute Maid? What are you supposed to do?
Take Kevin Durant's money from UT and build a gym for the people that
Thank
homeless
you
here?
For finally coming around to my side. Thank you. I didn't think that would happen, but it only took two days and two hours to get you to see clearly.
Well, KD is in town. I'll holler at him this evening. Hey, Nick, we want to ask him that when we go to the game tonight?
Hey,
we'll be back in the back where the credentials people are.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Maybe Golden State will give me a credential. Maybe. If I'm going to bet $100 on them, they better.
You're a Rockets hater.
I am. That's what it is. That's got to be it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
I don't hold it against you. All right. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back in. According to Wallet Hub, 2018 best and worst cities for an active lifestyle. Houston. Coming in fine and dandy at 38. Mm-hmm. Dallas, old dirty Dallas, down at 73. Houston wins again.
Is Dallas Dallas-Fort Worth, or is it just Dallas?
Dallas.
Is it Arlington? Is it Plano? Is this Houston in the loop, or is this Houston, Katy, the Woodlands?
Arlington is 95th.
Okay, so they
Garland is 93rd.
Okay.
Yeah, all your Dallas metroplex.
Yeah, because I'm
area
saying
little.
The metroplex. When I say Dallas, I lump Fort Worth and Plano.
They
need
on the list.
Yeah, see, but I lump them in. Arlington, that's all Dallas.
Fort Wayne
to me.
Is better than Fort Worth.
Fort Wayne? No.
Fort Wayne's all cornfield.
Fort Worth is 82.
Oh, is it? Yeah. So they're better than Dallas? I believe that. You said Dallas was in the 70s?
70 something. Yeah, 73.
Somebody texted the show and said, I'm from Detroit. Houston is Beverly Hills. That is awesome.
Hey, when it comes to your weight challenge,
uh-huh.
I guess I probably shouldn't even go into this story and discuss that Taco Bell is adding fries to the menu.
Yeah, does that strike you as odd?
Well, you should ask your people.
My people, I love Taco Bell. Yes.
I mean, they're going to have a dollar portion, which just comes with just nacho cheese sauce for dipping.
Oh.
Like, you really need some sauce to dip your fries in. And then, or you can order them supreme.
You're not a cheese, you don't like cheese on your fries?
Bel Grande. No. What?
That's clearly targeting like the younger crowd.
Which would add ground beef and pico de
18 to 22 loves them cheese fries.
Nacho cheese, sour cream.
I'm 43 and I love cheese fries.
I love
fries.
Them too, but it's really mainly for the college students, honestly.
Yeah.
If you go to any college campus, it's like there's like cheese fries everywhere.
See, I just don't believe in just throwing cheese on stuff.
Though. Really?
Yeah, no.
I do.
I can put queso on anything.
Because
bro.
I... Temple.
Or your temple. Body's a temple.
You can give me some Jack Daniels to dip my fries in. We can discuss this.
What wait a minute. What happened to the temple? What happened to the temple?
Temple need a little Jack. You know, nine
you have to keep the temple hydrated? Huh?
Exactly.
Okay.
You don't want to die of thirst.
It makes sense, though, because Taco Bell has been one of those companies that has tried it, but you know, they did breakfast, which I had it once and I wasn't impressed.
They did. I'd never mess with their breakfast.
Yeah, they had breakfast. They still do. But it's funny to think about how many different ways Taco Bell can take a tortilla, some ground beef, and some cheese.
Wait a minute.
And invented.
You think that's ground beef?
Yes, I do. Don't ruin it for me. You were the dude that believed that McDonald's sold horse meat, right?
You're a believer. Right?
I am. I have to. I have to convince myself that chicken
like
nuggets
ground
are real
beef
chicken.
When I cook ground beef.
Didn't look the same?
No, not quite
I don't
the same.
Care. It's delicious. That's all. But yeah, they've had 1,000 different ways to serve you a tortilla with ground beef and cheese on it. So at least they're thinking outside the box with french fries. But I don't know that it'll be one of those things that sticks around because I'm not going to Taco Bell for french fries. If they're good, maybe. But nah, I'm not going to Taco Bell.
I will
Bell
say the picture of them looks tasty.
Does it?
Yeah, it's got bold Mexican seasoning on it. So seasoned fries are good now.
Bold Mexican seasoning.
Yeah, that's better than bold white people seasoning.
So what?
Bold Caucasian seasoning?
What is white people seasoning?
Bold Caucasian seasoning. Sour cream. This is bold.
That's not bold, but that is definitely white. Sour cream.
Oh, I just think white food. I don't.
You know.
Y'all don't use seasoning, right?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Don't lie.
Yeah. What is that? Tony Satchery's? Yeah, that's white people seasoning, isn't it?
There's nothing worse than going to somebody's house to offer you some food and they didn't put anything on it.
That's true.
We were
true.
Talking about the
that's
steak
true.
The other day.
Yep.
And, you know,
you've got to put something on there.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't know. I don't trust Taco Bell to get it right, but
they're just fries. They ain't gonna kill nobody.
That's true.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Adam, you called in. I'll take your phone call.
What's up, Adam?
Man, I work for Comcast.
Okay.
And I work inside the loop. If you have never been down like south of the Galleria area on South Post Oak Road, you have no idea what you're talking about, that Houston ain't dirty. Houston is filthy. You got a taco truck in every single gas station that has a slot machine in it. I'm telling you.
Wait, a taco truck makes it dirty?
No, that sounds so Houston, though, a taco truck with a slot machine in it. That's the most Houston
talking about
sounding
the slot
thing.
Machines in the gas station.
I know, but I'm saying a taco truck with a slot machine, that would be so Houston.
Probably.
And then they would be like, look, we got mobile gambling. And they would consider that technology.
Yeah, where do you get that from? I'll go ahead, Adam. I'm going to ask you that. Go ahead, Adam.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you, with every single city that you have in the Houston metroplex area, you drive 5 miles, you're in a place that you would not take your wife at night.
Yeah.
Every single place. It doesn't matter if it's Spring, doesn't matter if it's League City, doesn't matter if it's Dickinson, doesn't matter if it's Pearland, doesn't matter if it's Katy. You drive 5 miles, you're in an area, you will not take your wife at night.
Is she fine?
I'll hang up. Look.
Appreciate the call, Adam. I will say this, and this is part of the problem, and I was telling Jerome this off air, but one of the big things that makes it look different to me is the fact that Fort Worth and Dallas have zoning. And in one of the neighborhoods that I was in having I was having lunch, and I ended up talking to the waitress, and I was like, why does this look so, like, I'm from Houston, and we got on the conversation, and she said, yeah, well, the zoning here, like, some cities, which would be something like Bel Air, or up there, or, you know, not even necessarily Katy, but like
West
Bel Air, West U, you could only have, like, 3 fast food restaurants in the entire city. that makes a huge difference. I mean, it's mostly, you know, there's only so many shopping centers and it's all centrally located and it's out of the, here it's just, you know, you could have a strip club and a church and a high rise all next to each other. There's just no zoning here. And that's, I think, part of the problem.
And of those three, you drive straight to
church. Couldn't even say it with a straight face. You're not going to get struck by lightning. I drive right to the high rise because I need a job. Okay, a couple of people. White people seasoning is cat hair, sweat, and spit. That is not white people seasoning, whoever sent that in.
Man.
And somebody said white people discovered the new world looking for bold seasonings. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know who sent that in.
Really?
I don't know if that's supposed to be a fact or a diss. I can't tell. I can't differentiate the two.
Discovered. Yeah. You discovered a place where people
live. Oh, y'all set Jerome off now.
You found something. And were they lost?
Oh, look. I found Jerome's laptop. I discovered his laptop, and I'm taking it home with me.
Net, please. 1-3-7-8-0. ESPN is number. We'll be back in a minute. It was too late, and I was hit with it. Hungry,
feeding on playoffs, commitment is in. My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I was going to get a little bit into what Bob McNair had to say. He did not hold a press conference yesterday, but he did grant a little private interview, as it were, with John McClain and Mark Berman so he could attempt to clear up some of the mess that's been going on with the Texans. But he didn't say anything that would clear up too much, except he did seem to make it a pretty strong point that the general manager, he says, will report to him and Cal McNair. So that general manager and that general manager will be the person who has control over personnel, not Bill O'Brien. And Bill O'Brien is snickering. Going, yeah, right. And the four-person search committee, Bill O'Brien's one of them.
Yeah, I was going to say it's O'Brien, Cal, Bob and
Jamie Roots.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So, yeah. And Bill O'Brien is like, hey, you know, I'm, you know,
25% of the vote.
I'm here. So he's going to have a lot of say in that. So I think this is just going to be fascinating to see, because this person who will have to report to the owners, but will it be a person who has a prior relationship with O'Brien and feels some allegiance to him? And you wrote in your Houston Sports and stuff, y'all want to go check that out. You're thinking that it's playoffs or bust for him next year. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the case, because especially if he signs a contract extension, which he's likely to do here in the next few days, I don't know if Bob McNair is going to hold him to that. And it's going to be, oh, well, he's only had 1 year with his general manager. And there will always be an excuse.
Yeah. And that's part of, though, why I think you don't necessarily have to sign him to an extension right now. I could see why you would. And you know, again, I defended him yesterday, but I think he's a good coach, and that they could do worse. They could do better, but they could do worse as a head coach for this football team. I think what's interesting about the decision is, you know, he's 25% of the vote. But if he's not going to be around, and if he does, depending on whether he gets the extension or not, I think will determine how much leniency he'll get. If he does get extended, then you're right. They're not firing him next year, no matter what happens. He could go.
And that's why the extension.
He could go,
the extension is ridiculous.
He could go 2-14. They're not firing him if they just gave him the extension. Well, maybe if he goes 2-14,
then you'd be paying him and Rick Smith to do nothing.
Yeah. Well, Rick Smith will be back at that point, but just as the VP after next year. No, you don't think he'll be back? Because he said he's coming back as the VP of operations or football operations or whatever.
Right.
He won't be back as the GM.
But he said that. And did you see what Bob McNair said?
No. What did he say?
Rick may not want to come back.
Uh-oh.
Mm. No, wouldn't you know what that means? Rick may not want to come back.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I didn't hear that. That's interesting. But it's going to be interesting who they get, because is this going to be somebody that can work? Because is this going to be a GM that leans more Bill O'Brien or leans more Cal and Rick and Bob? That's gonna be, that's good.
And see, and
it's a tough situation to be in for a GM too.
It's not about leaning one way or the other. It's about, can this guy pick the right players, make the smart moves to lift the team to the next level? Because I don't think Bob McNair is sitting there saying, this is the player we need. No, that's the general manager's job. His job is to say, this is the player we need.
You don't think there's anybody else in Rick Smith's ear on that side? First of all, I'll answer my own question. Bob McNair is the one that painted the Texans into the corner to have to get Brock Osweiler, because he's the one that came out and said, we will get a quarterback.
Right.
And regardless of the outcome, the absolute best option at the time was Brock Osweiler. That was the best you could do at that time.
Other than drafting,
which at that point,
Brock Osweiler ain't never been the best option.
Well, he was. No one said that was the wrong move when it was made. I didn't see a single person come out and say that was the dumbest thing they ever did was to sign Brock Osweiler. It turned out to be the case.
No, there were plenty of people who said, we don't know if this guy can play. And I wrote, based on what we've seen from this guy in a few games at Denver, he got benched for a guy with no arm.
But you can question whether he was.
And the coaches at Denver who I talked to said specifically, I don't know, he all right. So I wasn't one of those people saying this is a great move.
I didn't say it was a great move. I'm saying that it was the best move available after the owner says, we're getting a quarterback. That's it. I mean, there was no other, some of the other options weren't as appealing as that. Not saying it was a great move, but he painted him into that corner, essentially, like, is my point.
I don't think being hindsight is 20/20, because I wasn't thrilled at the time, and like everybody, I was less thrilled later, but I never thought he could play. And
but ignore all of that. The fact of the matter is the Brock Osweiler move happened because Bob McNair is the one that demanded that they get a quarterback.
That's on him. But for standard most moves, he's not the guy. Now, maybe he's the tiebreaker when there's a, you know, if they are trying to decide between a guy or on a guy or something, that gets to the owner or to the owner's desk. But generally, and that's why you do want them working together, and you want them working in accord. But we're talking most likely them bringing in a guy who's never done it before.
Which it's sad that we would have to sit here and have conversations about allegiances and sides in a front office of an NFL team, when you think that they would just all be on the same page, that there wouldn't be any politics
getting along and being on the same page are two different things, because you like a player, I don't like him. We could still get along, but who's right is the question. Who's making the smarter choice, and then who gets to make that call? You have the first pick in the draft in 1997 or whatever year it was, and you got to decide whether you want Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf.
Yep.
And if the GM wants one and the head coach wants another, who gets to make that call? One of them's going to change the franchise forever, and the other one's going to be a huge bust. That's what you run into with general manager and coach. That's what you run with, whether they get along or not. So it's, you know.
Yeah.
The not getting along part was because these two were just butting heads for no reason, or personality wise. It had nothing. It's not about philosophy.
Well, I'm just wondering too if maybe O'Brien feels like he wasn't, because Rick Smith came in with Kubiak, maybe he felt like, well, I'm not Rick Smith's guy. I'm just saying that could have something to do with it.
He was already here when I got here.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying maybe that's part of it.
I would hope that he'd be more of a man than that, but you know, I don't know. Neither one of them says anything like a man on the record about it. Both of them sit there and lie to your face and tell you the relationship was good.
Yeah.
Nick, you're on the Usual Suspects. Talk to us real quick.
Hey guys, what's going on? I just wanted to touch base on that Taco Bell story about the French fries.
I don't know
if y'all seen it, but there's a video of a girl ordering French fries at Taco Bell that came viral like a week ago. Everybody at the store is making fun of her. I think we all over-apologize because she's obviously a time traveler. I don't know what's going on with that.
What?
A video of
There's a video online right now of a girl at Taco Bell ordering French fries. I mean, this is a couple weeks ago, and everybody inside the store was making fun of her.
Oh, like, and because they like, don't have traveling. Fries. And was she a little? Was she coming from Ricky Williams' house?
Okay, I do see a video that says Florida woman tries ordering French fries at Taco Bell from November of 2017.
Yeah. And now they have fries. So she was ahead of
her
time.
She's an innovator. Well, right. I mean, you know, if you're an innovator, you're always going to be picked on. That's just how that goes. Or a time traveler, one of the two. Or a husband who works for Taco Bell's product development team and just maybe didn't get the memo that they weren't out yet. I don't know. Or she was high.
Or Taco Bell's getting a lot of free advertising if this went viral. That's right. You know?
That's true, too.
Yeah. She doesn't look like she really eat that many fries.
No, she doesn't.
She's kind of on the slim side. She not fine. Jason.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing today?
What's up, Jason?
Hey, not much, man. I had a quick question for Jerome. Last time, I think he was on the Blitz, and he was speaking about some guys that on the playground that didn't have some nice things to say to his daughter. I was just going to see if we could get an update on that story.
I have not... run into those guys, so there is no real update. And real quick, that I wasn't there, but my daughters, who are 8 and 9 years old, went to a park in our neighborhood, and a little white boy called them the N-word.
What?
And
damn, really?
Yeah. And but I, like I said,
did you whoop everybody's ass?
I wasn't there. I mean, and I probably wouldn't have resorted to that, but I would have loved to have been there. It would have been a really
how old?
Interesting. Now that's the thing. The one boy who said it was probably in the 6 year old range.
Well, that's all parents then.
But the other guys that were with him looked like middle schoolers, and they came over to defend his right to. Whatever, and yeah. But like I said, I so wish I'd been there, because that, you know, my girls, you know, they're like, whatever, but I
was going to say, how did they take it? I mean, that's not something.
And what it was, they came over to the jungle gym or whatever one of those apparatuses are, and he called them that, and all of the boys left the girls there, and they went and told my wife, hey, you know, this boy called us that, you know.
Is this something where you've had to sit your daughters down before this happened and tell them, hey, this is the world we live in? And that's so sad, man.
Well, and then we've had that conversation because another boy at their school told him one day that he doesn't like black people. And I was like, well, that's his problem, you know.
Yeah. It's such a learned behavior, though. I mean, really, if you want to tell me,
I thought that too, but then a lot of other people have said that their kids said, and they're like, they don't know where the hell the kid got that from, because they didn't.
Maybe another kid or.
Right. So, you know, kids say stuff, but I think that they don't even know what it means.
True.
Sometimes too.
True. And I just feel like, though, at those ages, he may have learned it from another kid, but that kid probably learned it from his parents. Or if he learned somewhere in
there's some bad parenting somewhere along.
There's some bad parenting. Yeah. In that's just sad, man. It's just,
yeah. Well, you know, like I said, it's a lot better than, you know, walking up behind my daughter and hitting me in the head with a pipe or something.
Right.
You know, so they can deal with that. It's not something, but you know, it's a fascinating thing. I wish I'd been there. I know I'd have been really angry, because I was pretty upset when I heard about it.
Right.
Just
rightfully
so. I'd just be mad. Like, you know, my girls hadn't done anything to anybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't ask for this. You know. So where your mom and daddy at?
Whooping somebody's ass before I leave this playground.
Somebody need an ass whooping.
Man.
And I need to find an adult.
Yes. So, you are
so
too
we
young.
Can get it on.
Raise your daddy at so I can put some hands on him.
Cool. Hey, Joe will be back tomorrow. Fred and AJ are out with the Blitz coming up in just a little bit, and they're at Gulf Greyhound Park. It was a fun 3 days, man.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for filling in. Yeah, I had a good time, man.
I hope I learned you something.
No. Yeah, I learned that you're manipulative with your words. That's what I learned. 3 days of you just twisting my own words. But no, I had a great time.
A lot of fun. Didn't get to get in on Nick like we would have, but you know, there'll be other days.
Yeah, you'll fill in.
You did a great
job.
You'll
get your
chance. Somebody did hit us on Twitter last night. I want to say this real quick about the Way Back Wednesday. Like, we must have been hanging out at Sound Warehouse over on I-45 and Tidwell.
Yep.
Like, yeah, on occasion.
Been
there over there by Northwest Mall, too. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm back. The one he's talking about is over there by Bone Shaker. You wouldn't know nothing about that.
I don't know anything about that. No. No idea.
That's right. You and Glock 9 weren't allowed to perform at Bone Shaker.
Too young. Too good and too young.
That's only a couple years before then, now. You know, but you act like Bo Diddley was up in there.
Well, Little Richard, I mean, if you knew about it, maybe it was. If you knew about it.
All right. Thank you a lot for sitting in with us. Hope you enjoyed the last 3 hours, and we'll catch you next time. Usual Suspects back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. When I got you, gotta give it to your papa. When I got you, gotta give it to your dog. 97.5.